Hello, Sean. Can you hear me?
Hello. Good afternoon.
And it's a very nice afternoon too.
It is. Spring maybe has sprung.
Yeah, and we want to talk to you about Mitsubishi and the Electro Route. That's a Mitsubishi Corporation, which is a Japanese corporation. And you have some sort of scheme to support older people at home.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose Mitsubishi and Electro have been kind enough to support us by supplying a new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is what will that do? It will enable, what we have is we have volunteers, around 600 staff in the community at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then we have staff that work with them. And what happens is they ring the city and we go out to older people who are referred to us to help them, sometimes with information and sometimes to solve complex problems they age at home. So whether that's health problems, linking them into health services, housing problems, food, access to meals on wheels, access to befriending services. And you get people with all these different types of issues. And mm-hmm. what Mitsubishi and Electroroute have done is provide a new vehicle so we can either accompany older people to appointments, we can use it to go out and see older people, all of these types of things, and ultimately to help us cut costs by not having to pay mileage, et cetera, on it.
Yeah, and the electric vehicle, we know very little about electric vehicles, but apparently they're eco-friendly to start with, and you're getting one of these vehicles.
Absolutely, to do it. So I think in some ways they're publicising electric and hybrid technology, mm-hmm. and at the same time as of its use around the city, and at the same time we're getting the access to a vehicle that we can use to go around, cut our costs, and to see older people. So that's really where it comes down to. The big thing for us is what we're looking to do is to make sure that other services and older people themselves know that we're in the community, and that if people are facing challenges to age at home, big or small, that we're happy to help, and we're happy to come out and help, because sometimes with these things people may be not able to get into an office. Sometimes people, you know, it's much more personal if somebody can come out and have a chat with you and help you help people resolve things that are happening for them.
Yes, and they're giving you a vehicle as such, a Mitsubishi. Now, how did this come about?
This one was a lovely one in the respect for us, because what happened is they decided they wanted to do something for a charity. And what happened was is their staff then decided to pick a shortlist and then voted on it. And then we go out and they sort of said, well, look, what can we do to help? And we told them, and they then decided, was that good use of their money? And then seeing the amount of impact they could have. And so I think companies are great like that, because obviously if they either give money or services, they're always very conscious that they must get impact for that and impact for the cause. So ultimately they chose us on the basis of they figured they can get the most impact for their money.
Oh, yes. Well, that's good sense, you know. Yeah. It's very common sense too.
Exactly. And I think that's the way with all charities like ourselves, people, whether you donate a large amount of money or the value of a car, which is for us a big deal, and we're really delighted about it. Whether it's a small amount of money or a large amount of money, I think people have to be conscious that charities like ourselves are set up to do a task. People believe in us and support us because they think and know that we can do more than or quicker than our colleagues in the statutory agencies, who are maybe more confined in what they can do by budgets, by funding, by geographics, and that ultimately what we can do is we can respond, go out to people, support people, and as we say, follow the need. So ultimately that's what we're trying to do.
And how big would your catchment area be?
Well, our catchment area is we don't actually have a geographical area as such, so we don't actually define it. And we don't define it because we would never turn anybody away, mm-hmm. wherever they rang us from. Obviously, in the Dublin and Greater Dublin area, we are much stronger. And then we've got four or five staff now in the northeast, which is Meath and Louth, right? But we also have systems and a network. We have a network of cooperation with around 20 other organisations up and down the country. Okay, strong with 20. There's around 40 members in total. So if we don't operate in an area that's rural, certain parts, rural parts of the country, then we probably know somebody who does, and we could do it indirectly for somebody. But if anybody came to us, we don't mind travelling. That's the thing about being a non-profit. You can go where the need is. If somebody rings you and they need help, we do our best to respond.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't get to them directly, your organisation, you network with other organisations.
Absolutely, and that's where it is. And if there's no other network, we'll travel ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it has to work. And I think that's the strength of being a charity. You're not as confined by rules. Like, we'd be very strong, we'd have 3 or 4 quality standards and got all those rules. But what I mean by that is as emerging need comes in, a huge amount of our volunteers work with older people on very practical tasks and on combating isolation and loneliness by visiting, by talking. But ultimately, that's like an emerging need. There's no health funding, there's no other funding for it. But we all know, and science knows and has proved it, 1 in 10 older people suffer with isolation and loneliness to the extent that it shortens their lives. So we fill that gap. I would say in around 5-10 years' time, medical science will say how important that is, and at some stage somebody will probably fund that type of work. But at the moment, nobody funds it. So what do? We're a voluntary agency. We develop solutions. We develop things, because ultimately, as everybody can see, that it exists.
Yes, and the of course the demands for your services are increasing. I won't say rapidly, but they're increasing at a steady rate, because the majority of the population is getting older by the minute. So I believe there's about 2,500 people approximately a week become senior citizens. They're over 65 years, in other words. And definitely then there'd be more pressure on you to provide all sorts of different services as such. You know, loneliness, we know, is one of the big, big things, particularly during the winter months, with regard to senior citizens. And, of course, just an ordinary phone call can make a hell of a difference.
Well, I think that's the starting point. You're absolutely right. Your phone supports, we do that. And then we visit people that visit. I think getting cut off or getting ended up on your own, like 1 in 3 over 65s live on their own. And plenty of older people are just that, and they work and contribute, and, you know, they're minding their grandchildren or they're out in their activities. But for some people, whether it's through bereavement, whether it's family moving away, whether it's sometimes basically being very old, being 80 plus, or your bad health year, all of a sudden people really stop seeing as many people. There isn't as many people in the neighbourhood, and then the days can be long and they can be difficult.
Yeah.
And it leads to an awful lot of other problems for people, because when people get in that situation, they can get quite depressed or quite down, and then they may stop eating. They may not start. They stop minding the house. They stop minding themselves. And the next thing you know, we're dealing with an awful lot of other support needs, as well as the isolation and loneliness. And we don't want anybody placed in that situation. So ultimately, that's why we have so many volunteers out there responding to that.
Yes, and the loneliness, if a spouse passes on, etc. Normally, a person, but particularly if they're a senior citizen, get totally lost. They don't know what to do, where to turn, etc. And their children may be anywhere. It could be in Australia, Canada, anywhere, and way down, and they're down in the country somewhere, and it's not possible to communicate other than on the phone, etc. But the loneliness can be actually the start of a sort of a depression that gets worse and worse and gets into a rut. And it's very hard to get people out.
And that's what happens. It's very hard to get people out. And you might have listeners who are older themselves, who aren't in the situation, but maybe know other friends of theirs who've ended up quite on their own. Then you'll have possible listeners who are sitting there going, you know, if you take the work we were talking about there that's been supported by Mitsubishi, mm-hmm. where we're out solving problems, who are sons, daughters, or younger brothers and sisters who are doing that for family members. But what happens if you don't have a family member to fight for your health service? What happens if you don't have a family member to help coordinate all that, and you're an older person and you don't feel well enough, and there's so many different systems and healthcare stuff and different things you have to address? It can be very overwhelming on your own, and it can be very difficult on your own, especially if you've had bad health in the recent past, or you're suffering with bad, poor health.
Yes, and of course now the majority of senior citizens are hale and hearty, and quite a lot of them do exercise, etc., to keep themselves hale and hearty. But people can definitely get into a rut, and it's
absolutely
a race.
And the third. And also, I've spoken to you a few times, so you know that we also provide housing. But
yes,
what you see is the government produced stats, and so the stats say 85% of older people buy, or 85% of people who are older have bought their own houses, right? So they look at 85% and they say, oh, that's grand. We don't need to worry about housing for older people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, but, I know exactly what you mean.
What we deal with is the 15%. And even a huge amount of people who may have owned their own houses, if, again, health or bereavement, somebody's now left on their own, the house may no longer be suitable. So the biggest issue we have with older people who come to us is actually housing problems.
Yeah.
And but if you looked at certain stats, people would go, oh, sure, all the older people around housing are fine. And it's not the case. It's around housing adaptations. It's around 40% of people who maybe had unskilled jobs, and that's the way they categorise it, not me, right, never bought. So there's a huge, when you look at the size of the greater Dublin area, that's an awful lot of older people in private rented, an awful lot of older people who never bought, an awful lot of older people who in rising rents are very vulnerable.
And of course... Yes. Sean?
No, so basically, again, anybody in that situation, we'd go out to them, talk to them, why isn't the house working for you? Or if they're in private rented, you know, what's happening? If they can't afford the rent, what do we do? All these types of things. And these are the types of cases and examples that come to us.
Yeah, and we know that people are getting evicted daily from rented houses. And some of them they had rented for, maybe 15, 20 years as such. And there's all sorts of excuses put forward. We know the rent is sort of capped for 2 years, but then... all sorts of excuses have been put forward, like I want it for me daughters who's coming home from Dubai or something like that, and the next thing, the person who's been in the house for zonks doesn't know where to turn.
Exactly, and they're very simple stories, and an awful lot of people who end up using their services, right? We, you know, and we're delighted where anybody's referred to us. We're delighted where an older person rings us. That's what we're here to do, is help. You know, people have got to realise that the vast majority of people use our services, right? You know, never thought they'd use them, have been working all their lives. But circumstances change, and we're there. We're a safety net if your circumstances have changed, if you're struggling with stuff. And it doesn't matter how small it is, we will do our best to help us. And on the far side, it doesn't matter how complex it is, we'll come out, we'll do our best to help and support you. So ultimately, that's what we're here for. And we don't judge anybody. And at the end of the day, we're here because, you know, that's what life is. Sometimes it doesn't quite turn out as we planned. Or does it ever turn out as we planned?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, Murphy has a law that covers that.
Exactly. And that's where it is. And sometimes people, you know, can be very proud and they say, oh, well, that service is not for me.
You know what I mean?
That's for somebody else and whatever. And what we're trying to say to people is if you're isolated and lonely, if you need help with your housing issues, if you're struggling at home for whatever reason, or if your health is poor and you want a little bit of help in hand, no matter if it's a small piece of information or a large piece of work and you want somebody to give you a hand with it and explain stuff to you or guide you through it or give you advice, that's what we're here for. And it's for everybody everybody who needs it or wants it.
Yes, and John, if you can't do it, your organisation can't do it, you can refer them to somebody else who can.
That's it. And sometimes we've had people where families have rang us in and we might never meet the older person, but they're saying, look, mom's getting this done or dad's getting that done. And, you know, we're not all born knowing how the system works. We're not all born knowing what the right thing to do is, do you know? And sometimes we're faced with situations that are unfamiliar to us. So we're quite happy to take phone calls as well, where people might be looking for advice on what to do.
Yes, Sean. And on that note, we wish you all the very best and with your new vehicle and such. And we will be back on to you in a little while again to see if you have anything stirring with regard to improvements or anything, fundraisers, etc., etc. And we will gladly put that out on air. And on that note, Sean, I'd like to thank you for coming on. And we'll be back speaking to you in a short while.
Appreciate the conversation.